Thank you all for your attendance here today as we gather to fellowship with one another and worship God. We're continuing to ask the question, what can I do now? If you are a new creation in Christ, if you have been created anew in Christ Jesus for good works and for the eternal kingdom of God, that's great. That's wonderful. That's something we should be thankful for. But at the same time, that's such a grand and cosmic and eternal mission that sometimes it's hard to like boil it down to today, to now. Like, what do I actually do? Well, I mean, I like change the world. Well, great. How do I do that? How do I right now change the world? And so what we're trying to do is kind of zero in a little bit on what are things that actually we here in our lives individually can do. And I think it's really, really important to have the mindset that everything that is done for the sake of the kingdom matters. I love that in the book of Zechariah, Zerubbabel, who is the governor of Israel after they've returned from captivity, he is, I think, struggling with the idea that the temple that Solomon once had, the temple that he built, was magnificent and glorious, and it was built at a time of wealth and prosperity in Israel. And he's bringing this like ragtag bunch of exiles back to a land that has been destroyed to try to rebuild the temple, but it's not going to be as big and glorious. It's not going to have the wealth and grandeur. It won't have the beauty that it once had. And I think he's discouraged, and there's a beautiful prophetic image in the book of Zechariah where he is told explicitly two things. One of them, he's told, not by might or by will, but by my spirit. And it's the idea that it's great things happen not because of how wonderful or powerful we are, but because of who God is and what God does. And also he's told not to despise the day of small things. I love that idea as well. Because there are times that we might think, oh, that's just a small thing, that doesn't really matter, or that's not an important way for me to get involved. And sometimes if we don't think something's important or big, we just won't even do it at all. We'll kind of avoid it. And what God is telling Zerubbabel is that even the smallest things, God can do incredible things with. Even the smallest things can become magnificent when God gets involved. And I think that's also, you see that with some of the parables of Jesus, like the mustard seed. You know, it's amazing what God can do with small things. And so what are we talking about here today? We're going to be talking about ways that we can get involved in the ministry of Christ, that we can say yes to ministry. And there are some things that are big and there are some things that are small, and we ought not look at them and judge them in value or in judgment that way. What we ought to do is rejoice that whether great or whether small, we are engaged in the mission and in the work and in the ministry of Christ. And that is a beautiful and wonderful thing. And that's something that matters. And it matters for every one of us. And it matters now. And it matters into eternity. And it is something that God can use and can do incredible things with. It's an act of trust in God to say yes to ministry. It's an act of trust in God to say yes to the kingdom and to getting actively involved and engaged. When I talk about ministry, I want us to make sure we don't make the mistake of thinking, okay, ministers do ministry, and we only have a couple ministers here at this church. You kind of start. That's actually a recipe for a poorly run church, because I know this minister, and put me in charge of a bunch of stuff, and you'll see how inept this guy can be. I have hopefully a couple of skills and gifts that I can use for the sake of the kingdom, but I guarantee you, as you look throughout this room, there are so many more gifts, so many more skills, so many more abilities that I have in areas that I know nothing about. And that's one of the reasons that, and we'll talk about this some next week, but Paul's favorite illustration for work in the kingdom and for mission and ministry is the body. Because all the different parts of your body have different functions, and you don't really want to do without any of them. You can have a hand, which is really good for picking up stuff, but isn't so good for sniffing or smelling. But a nose is pretty good at that, right? And a nose might be great for sniffing and smelling, but it's not going to get you very far when you have a mile to walk. But your feet and legs can help you out with that. And that's kind of how churches work. They're organic bodies where different people with different skills and gifts of the Spirit are able to accomplish and do different things. And so part of what we'll be talking about is how can each of us individually say yes to ministry. How can each of us become a part of that mission? Not a clergy up here and a laity down here, and they do all the stuff, and we kind of sit and watch from the sidelines. As was read a moment ago, Christianity is not practiced from the sidelines. It is a story that every person who has been named Jesus as Lord, every person who's been baptized to new creation, every one of us are in that story now. We're in it. And the story must go on. And the story must continue. And it continues through you, and it continues through me. Every person I know who goes to church wants to be a part of an active, vibrant, growing, faithful church. That doesn't happen by crossing your fingers and hoping that other people are active, vibrant, growing, and faithful. It happens when you say yes. It happens when you get involved and active and growing. You can't say, I hope there's a great youth group, if you're not helping with the youth group or bringing your kids to youth group. You can't say, oh, I hope we have a great worship service, if you don't sing during worship. You can't say, I hope that there's good this and this and this, if you're not actively getting involved and engaged and helping. As long as we wait for other people will wait for other people. And whenever that happens, not much gets done. So here's the point. Say yes to ministry. And by the way, I want to say this right from the get-go. I am extraordinarily thankful for this church and for this community of Christ. I know a lot of preachers. In fact, a lot of my friends are preachers. We hang out sometimes. And they are, I know what you guys are thinking, group of preachers. That sounds like a lot of fun. But we can have some fun sometimes. But here's the point. Something that sometimes happens when you get a group of preachers together, and it's not a good thing. Something that sometimes happens is there's some complaining that, you know, pops up about, oh man, I have to do this and this and this, and I can't get anyone to do this. And, you know, it's like about how sometimes their churches are apathetic, or sometimes it even, you know, is about the eldership. And I can honestly say, I don't usually have much to contribute to those conversations because I have a wonderful eldership. And there are a lot of active, vibrant, mission-minded, faithful ministers in this church. People who take up ministry responsibility and do it. There is not a lot that falls on me that isn't done better by other people. And that means the world to me. And I want to thank you very, very much for it. But I also want us to, as Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, excel still more. You know, when he writes the book of 1 Thessalonians, he doesn't have a ton of complaints about the church there, but he does want to encourage them to excel still more. And I think that that's something individually we can look at our lives and say, am I involved? Am I engaged? Do I have ministry responsibilities that I'm taking ownership of and leadership in? And if you are, wonderful. Thank you. Part of this lesson is a thank you. But also if you're looking at your life and you realize, you know what, I think there is more I can be doing. We want you to know how. We want to encourage you to get engaged. That's why we're having a ministry fair today, right after services. We're having an opportunity to showcase different ministries here at the church and for you to look at your gifts and skills and abilities and see what you're passionate about. One of the things that one of the blessings of this church is there are all kinds of ways to get engaged and get involved. And so whatever it is you're particularly passionate about, I bet we can find something. A way for you to get involved in the eternal work of Christ. And that's actually a really important way to think about ministry. It's not just a job I gotta go do at church. You know, it's not just something that is, you know, has to get done because, you know, people won't do it. And those. When you are working for the kingdom, you are engaged in the active and eternal work of Christ. And that's meaningful and that's powerful. I love Luke Acts. One of the things that whenever I talk about Luke and Acts, you're going to hear the same preface because Luke is part one and Acts is part two of the same book. And we don't always know that because when we open up our Bibles, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And we can read them as just like two separate books, but they were written by the same guy to the same guy. And right where Luke ends, Acts picks up. In fact, Acts begins by saying, hey, you know the first account I wrote to you? I'm continuing that on right now. And he picks up with the ascension of Jesus. They are supposed to be read together. In fact, a lot of the themes started in Luke find their fulfillment in Acts. And so if you only read Luke, you've read half of the book. If you only read Acts, you're picking up, and it's like starting a novel halfway through it. They are better read and understood as one continuous work. And with that being said, something really remarkable happens when you finish Luke and begin the book of Acts. And it's about the mission and ministry of Jesus. The mission and ministry of Jesus do not end when he ascends to the right hand of the Father. It actually continues on earth. Only instead of Jesus in the flesh being the one who's engaged in his ministry, it continues on through the work of his disciples, through the work of the apostles, and through the work of the church, through others who enter into this movement who continue doing the things of Jesus in the world around them. So in the Gospel of Luke, who is the expert Bible teacher? It's Jesus. As a matter of fact, his disciples are kind of clueless sometimes. They're not always super well-versed on what Jesus is up to and what he's doing. But when you get to Acts, the apostles are now the ones who are in the spirit, profound exegetes of biblical texts, and they're able to preach boldly and wild and profoundly so that there's wild acceptance of the message and masses that become Christians. I'm like, all of a sudden, the things Jesus was doing, gathering these large crowds, now the apostles are doing and the disciples are doing. Who is it who's preaching the kingdom in the Gospel of Luke? Well, it's Jesus. He's the one who starts preaching the kingdom, and John the Baptist. But then that continues on to where you get to the book of Acts, and you see the disciples are now the primary preachers and teachers of the kingdom. Who's the great healer and exorcist in Luke? By exorcist, we're talking about casting out demons. Like, that's Jesus. You get to the book of Acts. Who are the primary healers and the ones casting out demons? It's his disciples and apostles. Who raised the dead in the Gospel of Luke? It was Jesus. Did you know the disciples continue that same thing? They raised the dead. Even you have Dorcas and others who are raised in the Gospel or in the book of Acts. Who's the faithful martyr in the Gospel of Luke who gives his life? It's Jesus. Keep reading Acts. You'll see Stephen, you'll see James, you'll see others arrested, tried. They're the ones who end up suffering. Here's the point, and this is just one example, but you can go all the way through. Over and over and over again, what Jesus does doesn't stop when he ascends to the Father. But the ministry and the mission continues through his people. I think that's one of the reasons that the church is called the body of Christ. Where is the body of Christ right now, and what is it doing? It's not far away on a cloud somewhere. It's on earth, vibrant, active, worshiping, serving, preaching and proclaiming the kingdom, enacting the reality of the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. You're a part of it. When you serve and help with the church, it's not just some club that you've committed yourself to that you go to every once in a while. You're actually side by side doing ministry with Jesus that he started long ago and that continues even today. We are a part of this story now. We are a part of the very same kingdom. It is the same kingdom that Jesus was talking about. You're a part of it. And when you serve that kingdom, it connects you to Jesus in profound ways, ways that should never be taken for granted or minimized. It's beautiful and it's eternal, and you get to play a part in that story. Say yes to ministry. Say yes to teaming up and partnering with Jesus. Here's a passage from the Gospel of Luke that kind of, it's one of the introductory passages of the mission of Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. That's in Luke chapter 4, and that's one of the earliest passages about the mission of Jesus and what he's doing. He starts going to these different towns, and notice, Jesus is the one who must preach the kingdom of God. You know the final verse of the book of Acts, how it ends? These are the final verses. This is Paul in Rome now. Paul, by the way, who was a persecutor of Jesus, is now on the team of Jesus, and he's in Rome, and it says he lived there two whole years at his own expense, and welcomed all who came to him. Notice what he's doing. Proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. The message of the kingdom starts with Jesus, and you see at the end of Acts, it is still being proclaimed, it is still being lived, and it's now reached Rome, the capital of the ancient world at this time, and it's still alive and vibrant and well today. And it's in Maryville, Tennessee. And it's right here in this building. And you're a part of it. And you have entered into the same story. So say yes to it. Say yes to ministry. Here's a question for you. How many people does it take to baptize someone? This isn't like a light bulb joke setup, but it kind of sounds like, how many preachers does it take to screw in a light bulb? No. How many people does it take to baptize someone? I was thinking about this before, because I've had Bible studies with people in my office, and then we've gone and we've baptized them. And if you think about how much active service by many people over many years it took for something like that to happen, it's really incredible. And we can forget sometimes about how this story has played out and involves so many. Here's what I mean. If I'm sitting in my office and I'm having a Bible study with someone, you know what we're usually reading? A Bible, believe it or not. We have a Bible that's there. Do you know how I got this Bible? Well, it didn't drop out of heaven one day into my hands. This Bible, like existing today and in our hands, took a lot of work from a lot of people over a very long period of time. Whether it was people who initially wrote it, or the people who were copying it, or the people who were sending out and traveling with copies of it so they could expand to different places, or the people who found those copies, or the people who gave up their lives to preserve those copies, or sometimes gave up their lives to translate those copies, or those who invented the printing press, and then the first thing that was printed on it was the Bible, or people who collected Greek manuscripts to make sure that we have accurate wording in our Bible. And like all of those things, before I say a word in there, there's this long history of people serving the kingdom for us to even have a Bible to open to begin with. So how many people does it take? I don't know, but a bunch already. And then you have all of the people who have shaped the way that I read the Bible and I think about the Bible and I understand different things. One of the reasons teaching is a really important part of Christianity is so that you know how to teach and you understand doctrine and theology. And so you think about how many people, when someone baptizes someone, have poured teaching and theology and scriptural knowledge into that person so that they can communicate it to someone else. You not only have that, but how are we able to see the Bible? Because there's a light bulb in there. Someone put a light bulb in that room. And that contributed to the mission of the kingdom. People who do work around the physical building were able to come out here, and there's a baptistry. Why? Well, because people have supported financially so that there could be a baptistry. Someone cares for and tends the baptistry to make sure that it is well-kept and able to be used. And there are about 100 other things you could say that go into pretty much any part of the work of the kingdom, but there is so much that is being done and that has been done that you might think, oh, this isn't too big of a deal, I'm just screwing in a light bulb, but even that act itself, for the sake of the kingdom, matters and is of eternal significance because you're entering into the eternal story and you're playing a part in it. So say yes. Think about this for a second. This is something that I was talking with Susan Gallagher about just recently. That's a picture I took this week of here while no one was here. But how many people does it take to have a Sunday morning service, like Bible class and worship? Well, we have all of us who are here like as a part of it. But think about the things that are done to enable you to be here and to experience a worship service in Bible classes. Well, you have to have someone who's opened doors in order for you to walk through them. We have greeters who welcome and greet people, whether officially or unofficially, but try to make people feel welcomed and at home, and you see a friendly face when you open the door. We have welcome packets that have already been prepared, and we have people who are standing ready to help give them out so that people can learn about this congregation. We have, most important of all, coffee and donuts sitting out there. But do you know why we have those? Because someone has purchased and provided the coffee. They've set up the different coffee pods and things like that. Someone has gone to a donut shop and brought us. Like, all of that stuff takes work. It doesn't just happen. Like, people are engaged in that. And that's a mission and a ministry for the church. We have Bible class teachers. Some of them are more public, and you think more about those things. Okay, the person who taught had something to do with this. But there's actually a whole lot of other people who have been involved in order for that to happen. We have people who have got teaching supplies. lives, and we're talking about from youngest all the way, or from youngest to the oldest. We have teaching assistants who help out in the rooms with for soul train. We have conductors who help lead kids from class to class. We have candy for the children after services are over. The kids who have filled out their supplies and paperwork, they bring those to me and I give them candy. That candy's stocked by someone else. And by the way, those papers are printed by someone else and they're put on a clipboard with crayons in the back for someone else. Like, that's all work that people are doing and engaged in. We have security right now at the building. We have someone who's watching screens and like we have to do things so that we can come here with peace of mind and safety. They're audio visual. There's people working right now. I see them. Who are making sure that when I push this button, something happens, and you guys are able to see this. They have kept the songs on the screen so that we can see them and read them. That's a ministry to be actively engaged in. We have there's a camera right here and right over there. This is being recorded right now. Someone's doing that. And then they'll upload this to on the internet so that people who aren't here are able to benefit and experience the worship service. That's a ministry that people are involved in. We have a nursery where there is we have a good number of women with child right now at this church, and we have a nursery already. And what that means is that we're growing, and there's ministry needs. And the only way those get satisfied and accomplished is when people say yes to ministry. And the more that you have, the easier it is on everybody, so that it's not one person over and over and over again doing the same work, but there can be a team that rotates, and they try to have a good rotation of that. We have TNT in children's worship. TNT is for twos and threes, and we have people teaching the children the same truths that they were getting in Bible classes, reinforcing them at a level that they're better able to comprehend and engage with. We have song leaders like we've just had. We have people who have offered prayers. We have a Lord's Supper talk. We have Lord's Supper supplies next to mints, by the way, in these tables outside here. Someone did that. We have printed announcements so that when the Bible class teachers can read announcements and the elders are able to, when they get up here to welcome the church, they have information they can read. We have elders who stand up here and who pray for us, who welcome the congregation, who keep us up to date on various activities. Sometimes they're able to do that because others have helped give them that information because they've been talking to people, so that we're able to learn more about the community and what one another is going through when we gather for worship. People clean up after services. It's pretty comfortable in here. Heat and air, that's something that that takes active engagement and work. We have a baptistry that's ready to go, by the way. Ready to go right now. Anyone in here who wants to be baptized this morning, let us know. We can get it done. But do you know why it's ready to go right now? Work, ministry, mission. Someone is involved in saying yes. I know there's other things also. There are a lot of things I haven't even mentioned. But if you start adding this up, you're getting a long list of different people who are involved in even just sitting here and worshiping. I want to say thank you to every one of those people. I want to say thank you to what you're doing for the sake of the kingdom. I also want to say, look at this list. I don't know if you've sat down and thought about it much before. There are a lot of people involved in what takes place here. And I also want you to ask yourself, how can I help? Like, who can be a part of this? You know, one of the things, and this is true of most companies and most churches, but one of the things that generally happens is most of these types of jobs, a lot of times they end up falling on the same people over and over and over and over again. And so what I want us to each do is to look at ourselves and think, okay, is there any way that I can get involved in some of these things? And I'm not saying you become the sole person who does all of this for henceforth and forevermore, but there are generally rotations. Can you get involved in helping with nursery? So that mothers can worship God with peace of mind, knowing that their children are cared for and taken care of, and so that others who are helping work out in the nursery, it doesn't fall on them every single week, so that they can help out. Like, what are ways, that's one example, but what are ways that you can become part of something, to share with Jesus in something, to help his mission and his work here today, here in the world that we live in? You can be a part of that. In fact, you're invited into that. And I want to encourage you again, say yes to ministry. Say yes to becoming a part of what is done here. When God calls in the Bible, There are a bunch of examples of it, whether you're talking about Mary, or you're talking about Abraham, or you're talking about Elijah, or you're talking about Isaiah, or Jeremiah, or like you go through Isaac. Like, there are a lot of call stories in the Bible where someone is called to a particular task. And there's a couple of things that they usually have in common. One of them is the people are like, no, not me. You can find someone better. And, you know, I have other things going on in my life. Or I'm not certain that I actually think this is going to work out very well. There tends to be a lot of trepidation that people have. If you're going to say yes to ministry, which all of those in those call stories, those with trepidation, like Moses, he eventually did go. You can only do that with a tremendous amount of trust in God. Saying yes takes trust in the work and in the mission of God. It takes dedication to something bigger than yourself and to other people. It takes actual love for other people, because I'm doing this because I'm going to. I'm not doing this just to get another jewel on the crown in heaven. Maybe you will. I don't know. Maybe you will. Let's say that. But let's say you're not doing it because it's just some frustrating obligation. You're doing it out of love for another person. You're doing it out of love for the mission of Christ. Trust God. Have some dedication. Get some skin in the game when it comes to what takes place here and the worship and the life of this church and the service of this church. Demonstrate love through your actions. I'm reminded of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, the passage that was read for us a moment ago. A miserable sounding job was offered, and he at first didn't feel that he was worthy, but God cleansed him of his sin and made him worthy. In fact, in our elders meeting on Monday night, Randy Winstead said something that I really appreciated, and it was a wonderful devotional thought. We usually start with devotional and prayer, but he really emphasized the idea that God does not always call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. I don't know if I said that exactly the way he did, but basically the idea is God might call you even when you don't feel qualified, but he's calling you because he is qualifying you for the call and for the mission. Don't wait until you're perfect to say yes. You won't be perfect. You won't say yes. See what you can do here. See what you can do now. Along with Isaiah, as God is looking for whom he will send, say, here I am, or here am I, if you go the traditional route. Send me. I can do this. Say yes. As we bring our lesson to a close, I want to encourage us to have an every member ministry. What I mean by that is it's not the ministers do these things and everyone else just kind of watches and engages. Churches thrive when every member takes ownership. You will care more about the church. You will care more about the ministry when you're a part of it. So let's see if we can get every member actively engaged and involved, and get involved today. As soon as services are over, see if you can make your way downstairs to our ministry fair and see what you can learn that we are doing and see what ways you can get involved in it. We would love to be able to help you. I think this is something that is not only good for the kingdom, good for others, it is good for you, for your spiritual well-being, growth, and commitment to Christ. Say yes to ministry. And if we can help anyone here today become a Christian, baptistry is ready. If anyone wants to name Jesus as Lord of your life, commit your life to him. Give your allegiance and faith to him. Have your sins washed away in baptism. Be born anew to live for him from this point forward. Please let that be known. Come sit on the front row, or you can talk to one of our elders in the library in the back as we stand and as we sing.